It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Summer is traditionally a time for reading, but we are pretty sure WPR listeners love books all year round. We have different tastes, though, and we would love to know what you've been reading or what you've read that you simply can't forget. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the place that you can email us. You can also tweet us with your recommendations at WPR Mornings. Give us your recommendations, and we want to hear from you if you are 60, if you are 26, if you are 6. If you have a favorite book, we want to hear what that favorite book is. And of course, we have a book aficionado with us in studio, and he's brought his own list. He not only brought his own list, he brought his own books. Daniel Golden is the owner of the independent bookstore Boswell Book Company on Downer Avenue in Milwaukee. Daniel, welcome to the program.
It is an honor to be here.
So you have this stack of books with you that you would like to recommend. How often do you read? Do you often get tired of reading? Do you ever get tired of reading?
Reading's a little seasonal for me. I definitely read more in the summer and the winter, and that's partly because of we do a lot of programming, and I wind up
working.
Having a little more time, yeah. This, I consider it partly pleasure and partly work. I think if I have an event coming up or there's a local author or something like that, I might read the book and it feels a little more like work.
Right.
But then I
me
always
too.
Sneak in some books that I go, there's probably nothing I can do with this book, so this is an absolute pleasure. And then, of course, by the time I finish the book, I go, oh, I knew how to sell this too. I know how to tell about this. So it winds up still always. It's also... I like reading a lot very, very early in the morning. One of the things that a lot of people tell me they read at night and they don't read much and they fall asleep and things. And I'm like, do it before everything else. You'll have more energy.
That's an interesting concept. I may think about that. I have to be here really early in the morning, though.
So for you, yeah.
So how do you curate your recommendations? Like, you know, when you are recommending books to customers or something like this or an event, how do you curate this?
You know, I do it I sort of try to coordinate, just like I do when someone comes up to our information desk at the register and is like, I need something to read. I ask the question... You know, what have you read lately that you've really loved? What have you read lately that you've really, 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 really loved? I will tell people might ask me what they think other people are reading who have similar tastes to them. If it's a book club list that I'm putting together, I might have some criteria based on what we do well with for book clubs. And there are things like a book can't be too long. It's a little tougher. It's harder to get a read. People like narrative, so if it's nonfiction, it's probably more likely still going to have a story involved. Though there are discussion groups that like more of a thesis kind of book. And if it's something like this, I wanted to come up with some books that people might have thought about reading, but you know, maybe saw it on a bestseller list but didn't know enough about it. And I also thought about like maybe comparing books to other books. So, for example, if some of the books that are very popular now, A Gentleman in Moscow, Killers of the Flower Moon, what are other books that somebody could read if they said, I really love that book, what should I read next?
Okay, so you're comparing books. We are getting a lot of phone calls and we are getting a lot of emails, and so I'm just going to start reading here. Jack from West Bend called, couldn't stay with us, but he recommends Wisconsin author Mel Ellis, who wrote Flight of the Gray Wolf and other novels. He likes them because they're good adventure stories for children and they offer good lessons about animal treatment.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Kyla emailed us to say that the best books I've read all year have been Educated by Tara Westover. And all the novels by Frederick Bachman. So one of the novels that that Bachman wrote is A Man Called Ove. People might know from that.
That's right. That's been one of those books that was been a phenomenon for a number of years, and his books still continue to sell very well as they're released. And that's the kind of book where people come into the store and say, I need a book like that. I need another book like that. And I have two recommendations that I've been giving out lately. One of them is very popular, and I think a lot of people don't realize there's an OOVA connection. Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. Another character that's hard to get to know. You know, we think we have expectations about who she is, and they're confounded. She's changed by the friends she makes around them. The thing about that book is it's sort of crossed with a little Bridget Jones's Diary. It's a she's got a there's a little more dating from a female perspective. She does a lot of analysis of the environment around her like that, which is, you know, we think of that as The Birth of Chick Lit, but it was actually a very smart book. It was a very smart book. And no dish on Chick Lit. There are some really great books there. So I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but a very positive way.
So this is actually being made into a movie, Eleanor Oliphant, right?
I think so. Reese Witherspoon really helped promote this book with her book club. She's a terrific reader. Mm-hmm. And she bought the film rights. She's always looking for films that have roles for that she doesn't see in the Hollywood scripts that come to her.
Sarah from Milwaukee, you are reading or have read Eleanor Oliphant, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, and this is one of the books that you recommend?
Yes, it is.
And I'm reading also that the other book you're recommending is Jane Eyre, which seems to me completely opposite of this. Talk to me about your taste here.
Well, I think Jane Eyre can speak to anybody at any time, to be quite frank. I think that it is one of those books that everyone has to read in, you know, freshman high school reading class. But then you read it again, I read it again as an adult. And I found so many new levels on it. And then I started reading all the history of Charlotte Bronte, and it just was really interesting from that perspective. And then Eleanor Oliphant is, not to give away too much of the book, but I feel like there is a lot of depth and there's a lot of psychology in that. And Jane Eyre also has a lot of psychology. Mm. And it's one of the first books that is from a woman's perspective about that kind of issue. So I think they both do kind of relate.
Interesting. Okay, so I've read Jane Eyre in high school. Maybe I will get back to that, but I definitely have to read Eleanor Oliphant or Oliphant, Daniel.
You know, that's the one. I'm trying to remember what the author said. I'm going to say it. I'm not going to give a definitive answer.
Okay, fine. Thank you for this, for that recommendation, Sarah. I should note that all of these recommendations, every book we talk about on the air, whether it's a phone call or an email or something that Daniel is bringing to the table, will be on our website, WPR.org, as a list. We are taking Shannon from Platteville. Shannon, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on.
Yes. So what's your favorite book?
Well, you know what? I think a great book. There's too many favorite books out there. You know? But I think a good book for people to, you know, to at least recognize that Philip Roth just passed away, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most people say his best novel is American Pastoral, but I would stick by Sabbath's Theater.
And why do you like that?
I'll tell you what. I was in college and I just read it, and it is a book about growing old outside of the conventional narrative of American life. You know, how do you deal with the death of your family? How do you deal with the death of yourself? Like how do you just keep charging forward in a world that seems, you know, depending on your frame of mind, just a world that is not going well for you, and how do you make that funny, and how do you make that scary? And it's really like the best book by Philip Roth, and it will blow your mind if you are you're looking for great prose, very dark humor, and a book just about it all.
Thank you very much, Shannon. That's something that I will put on my list to read.
It's very funny to hear that because I just had a customer, not this customer. I had somebody else tell me that Sabbath Theater was their favorite Philip Roth novel. And we had a very similar discussion. I actually, because we have like some obituary table, sadly, a number recently.
Right.
But so a lot of people have been coming in to read Philip Roth. And one of the books that I've been recommending based on reviews is Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday. A lot of people compared that to a modern female take on Roth. And it's gone over pretty well. I just had somebody come back to me in the store and say they really loved it.
And she is still alive.
She's a young, Columbus level of her life. You know.
We are taking your your calls on your favorite reads. What do you recommend? What was a time in your life when you fell in love with books? Can you pinpoint that? We'd love to hear that story. And I am asking for kids to call in also. What is your favorite book in your room? What do you want your mom or dad to read you over and over again? Have you started reading on your own? What is your favorite book so far? 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Daniel Golden is the owner of the independent bookstore Boswell Books on Downer Avenue in Milwaukee, and he is here, sitting here with a stack of books. And we'll be back in a moment to talk about these books. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. So one of my favorite books I read to my kids was Winston the Book Wolf. It's about a wolf who devours books, quite literally, until he finds a library, and the librarian, desperate no doubt to save her stock, teaches Winston the idea of devouring books in a metaphoric sense and sets him up as a reader to a children's group. I love this book because it's a book about books, which is very meta, and our children sort of like, my children sort of like got the idea of being meta before it became a trend. We would like to know what your favorite book is and what you would recommend for us to read for ourselves, to our children. If you are a kid, we want you to call in also. 800-642-1234. ideas@WPR.org is the email. You can tweet us. If you're a kid, you're probably connected to Twitter a little more than some people are. WPR Mornings. I wish we actually had an Instagram page. Daniel Golden is with us. He's the proprietor of the independent bookstore Boswell Books on Downer Avenue in Milwaukee. So let's talk about, we've got actually an event coming up surrounding one of the books that you have brought with you. Talk to me about that.
Yes. We're working with Wisconsin Public Radio on Atessa Moshfegh's second novel, My Year of Rest and Relaxation, and that event is actually tonight. And she's going to be in conversation with Wisconsin Public Radio's own Doug Gordon of The Beta Show. Mm-hmm. And that actually, I'm so excited about it. It's the perfect match. It was just one of those casual things where he sometimes comes to the store when he's in Milwaukee and had just told me he had loved her short story collection, Homesick for Another World, and I talked to her and they'd really hit it off. And I was like, ooh, we have to bring that to the world. So it just so happens she's coming.
So talk to me about this book.
So she is a quirky short story writer initially, featured in the New Yorker, for example. Her first novel was more of a psychological take on a psychological thriller, a little different. This novel is pure, very much like the stories, much more in her personality. It's a crazy book about a woman in the year 2000 who's in her 20s. She is orphaned, has been able to afford this very, very nice apartment on the Upper West Side and decided all she wants to do is sleep. She wants to hibernate. And she is going to do everything she can to sleep as much as she can. And that involves like sneaking out of work, taking all sorts of pills from her crazy psychologist, who is this sort of like, you think about a Woody Allen doctor, you know, like the psychologist on steroids, prescribing pills, like everyone's worst nightmare. She has this friend, Riva, who's very dependent on her. They continually fight and she belittles her, but Riva shows undying love, is completely always at lost odds. It's a very complicated friendship. And then she gets involved with like a performance artist who is going to turn her sleeping project into his greatest exhibition ever. I call it like David Sedaris for the person who wants to go to the next level of craziness. He is a huge fan. On his last tour, he always has a book that he tells the entire audience all through the country to buy. And her short story collection was the book that he was pushing. And if you read this book, you can see it. Though I said more like his fiction than his nonfiction because it's absurdist.
Right.
But it's actually very smart. It's got some very interesting things to say. She's an amazing writer.
Okay. And where is this event tonight?
Oh, it's at Boswell.
It's in Milwaukee.
Yeah, at Boswell at 7. No registration and it's free. So
okay. So we are taking your calls about your favorite books, 800-642-1234. We've got a lot coming in. Judy from Ripon, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to answer all of your questions. What number one, when did I fall in love with reading?
Yes.
And it's a shame because as an adult, I'm so busy, I don't get to read as much as I probably could or should. But I was in third grade, and I remember it very vividly because I was introduced to Nancy Drew, and I read every single one of those books. And I'd read late into the night with my lamp on. And Carolyn Keene had this way of when something scary or something exciting was coming up, she would italicize the sentence. And being in third grade, that's the first introduction you have to italicized sentences. And
right.
So something was really exciting coming up because of the italics. The second question, for children, what would I recommend? Elmore Leonard's A Coyote in the House.
Oh.
I loved that book. Loved that book and loved reading it to my kids. And as an adult, my favorite read is Prodigal Summer by Barbara Kingsolver. It's such a beautiful American love story. And the way she describes, she's on the level of Steinbeck, as far as I'm concerned. The way that she describes the smells of the southeastern part of the United States, the honeysuckle, just everything, you just feel like you have a presence right where she's telling that story. So those are my three comments.
You know what? I have read Kingsolver before. I have not read this one. I agree with you about the Steinbeck sort of aura there. And I think this may be my next book. Daniel?
And her next book is coming out on October 16th. Unsheltered. Everybody's very excited.
Okay, fine. So another Kingsolver. Thank you very much, Judy. That was pretty awesome. John from Madison, welcome to the program.
Yes. After a lifetime of reading literally thousands of books, there's one book that stands out, and I'm reading it for the fifth time. It's a book by Bertrand Russell called Skeptical Essays, and this is the most jam-packed book full of wisdom, analysis, just crystal clear, pristine thinking that I've ever read in my life. As I said, I'm reading it for the fifth time and still learning from it. And if you like Bertrand Russell, he was one of the premier mathematician, logician, philosophers of the last century. He got the Nobel Prize in 1950. For the second book by Russell, read The History of Western Philosophy. It's also incredible. But first, read Skeptical Essays. It's beyond compare.
Thank you very much. I actually do. I haven't read Russell in a long time, but I do like him.
And what I find with philosophy is it's a book that my customers need no help at all. They always know more than I do. And I was like, I would try
that
to sell them
true.
A book, and they're like, yeah.
Yeah. We know. We are taking your calls for the best reads that you have had, what you recommend other people should read, and how did you fall in love with books? We are taking calls from adults, and we are taking calls from kids. 800-642-1234 as we sit here with Daniel Golden from Boswell Books. We've got Johanna from River Falls. Johanna, welcome to the program. Johanna? Oh, no. Mm. Oh, no. So that actually was a kid who was calling and to talk about her favorite book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh,
yes.
Narnia.
And that is a series that I kind of fell in love with when I was a kid.
I read them all, too.
Yeah.
I have to say, not apparently in the right order, because, you know, they changed the order of the books about, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Talk to me about that. I don't really understand that.
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I think the publisher had made this decision that was the entry book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Right.
And then and I don't have too many details on it. I know that the book then became the third or fourth book in the series later on. So, you know, sometimes these things happen. People, you know, sometimes authors re-edit their books, and sometimes
All right.
Change the order.
We are taking your phone calls, 800-642-1234. What is your favorite book, and when did you fall in love with reading? We've got Johanna back on the line. Johanna, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. So how old are you?
Good.
Good. Okay, good. How old are you, Johanna?
I'm 10.
You're 10. And your favorite book is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Why do you love it so much?
I love how, like, the time zone is really different, and I love how the different characters help him through the war.
That is true.
The Beaver and the Aslan.
That is true. Do you have another favorite book?
The Secret Garden.
Oh, yes. And what do you like about The Secret Garden?
I love how it, like, the main character helps the little boy who's, like, locked in the room mm-hmm. who couldn't walk, and she teaches him how to walk. And it's really helpful.
It is really helpful.
It's so, father.
Did your mom and dad read to you when you were little?
Yeah, and they still do.
And they still do. You know, I read with my kids. We would all read together after they learned to read. So keep that up. Thank you for calling in, Johanna. I appreciate it. Have a good day. Keep reading. We are talking about books today. Your favorite books, Daniel Golden. Give us another recommendation.
Well, I have a book for Johanna.
Okay, great.
It is Bob by Wendy Moss and Rebecca Stead. I went to our kids' buyer, Amy, and I said yesterday, tell me, we're going to be doing presentations to schools later, so I'm going to have to read a lot more kids' books. But, and I read a good amount. I like middle grade, especially, like that 8 to 12, because it gets so, by the time people are
reading.
Teens, they're get much more angsty.
Yeah, that's true.
But so this is a book that I said, what's the book that you want me to recommend more than anything else? And she and Jen, one of our other booksellers, said this book, Bob. Wendy Moss, Rebecca Stead, both great writers on their own. What I can say to Johanna is the time zone here is really great because it takes place in Australia.
Ah.
It's 14 hours away.
Okay.
And it's about this young girl who comes from Massachusetts to go to Australia to visit her grandmother. And she opens the closet door and there's this, well, I don't know, maybe an alien, maybe a monster, maybe a zombie, whatever he is, he's differently creatured. And he says, I've been waiting for you. You put me in this closet, told me to wait in this closet 5 years ago and you never came back.
Huh.
And she has no idea. And he's wearing the strangest outfit. It's like a chicken suit, only it's handmade, and there's just, it's like pajamas with feathers glued to it so that he could, and he's actually very good at impersonating chickens. She has to figure out why he's there, why she doesn't know who he is, and she has to help him get back home.
And
it's so wonderful.
His name is Bob. I'm
oh,
assuming
yes. Once
that the
she
book
finds
is
out,
named after this monster.
You don't find out for a while what his name is because he says, her name's Olivia. And he's like, Livy, you know my name. And she has to figure out what it is.
So Bob, difficult. Johanna, and every other 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 12-year-old out there.
Perfect for 10.
Perfect for 10. It's called Bob. I will look that up, too.
And I'm going to say one thing else about it, that it has an Easter egg for one of my very, very favorite kids' book when I was growing up, which is called Half Magic by Edward Eger. Mm. It's seven books he wrote. A lot of people, it had a big resurgence after Harry Potter. It was one of the books people recommended where a girl finds a coin. And Half Magic is the book that the little girl is reading before she meets him.
Interesting. We are taking your calls about your favorite book, what you would recommend, and when you fell in love with reading. 800-642-1234. We are taking calls, as you just heard, from kids as well as adults. Lois called. She couldn't stay with us. Mm. She suggests the memoir The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. She says it describes what the author's life is like after a massive stroke left him with locked-in syndrome. That sounds fascinating to me. And who are we taking next? Glenn from Stoughton. Welcome to the program, Glenn.
Hello. I fell in love with books immediately. And I remember one year our little tiny library just down the street said if you read a certain amount of books, you got some sort of an award, mm-hmm. and I had not heard about it. And I sat down and read like 20 books in that afternoon to get this award.
And you got the award, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was not going to leave without that.
So what's your favorite book?
I just want to put in a plug for, I run a small business, and unfortunately I have no time to read anymore, but I can read graphic novels.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they're often left off these lists, and a lot of these have won major book awards, and just because they have pictures, they are still very sophisticated, and they're wonderful. I would say one that just came out, my favorite thing is Monsters, won a bunch of awards.
Oh, sure.
It's sort of a memoir. And some other great ones, Blankets and Goodbye Chunky Rice, of course, Mouse by Art Spiegelman. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure somebody mentions those.
Graphic novels.
Well, if I had Peter or Olivia V, two of my other booksellers, they probably, especially Peter, probably would only have recommended graphic novels in the list. He couldn't make it. So, but I just did read a wonderful graphic novel called Illegal, which isn't quite out yet, but it's coming out very shortly. And it is by Owen Colfer. It's actually a graphic novel for young adults and adults. Owen Colfer wrote the Artemis Fowl series, very popular for 8 to 12 and up. And it is the story of a boy from Ghana who crosses the Sahara and the Mediterranean to reunite with his family. It's filled with, it's
oh,
an amazing
that's
book.
Fascinating.
It's all based on real interviews with migrants, and it's beautiful, it's tragic, it's a very strong book about family, and it's two authors and an illustrator who work together on Artemis Fowl graphic novels. Really great.
We are talking about books. We are taking your calls about your favorite book and when you fell in love with reading. Maddie from Neenah, welcome to the program.
Hi. First of all, I can't believe I'm on air. I listen to, like, NPR to, like, get me to go to sleep all the time.
Okay.
So I'm actually a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I have actually three things. So the first one is something my mom always gives me three books every Christmas and writes a little message in them.
Aw.
And this is one that she gave me. It's called Every Last Word by Tamara Ireland Stone, and it's actually about a girl who has OCD.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so good because it also depicts panic attacks, and I also get panic attacks, and it really gives a real, like, feeling of, like, how it is, like, you can't control everything. And so she has a purely obsessional OCD, and she has a stream of dark thoughts and can't turn it off, and she has this kind of toxic group of friends, and then she meets this one girl and introduces her to this thing called Poet's Corner, and she writes poetry, and she finds love, and it's awesome. And then another one is called Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know that one, yes.
That one is so good, and I just really identify with that character.
So why do you like that so much?
Well, I'm also a fangirl, and I sometimes get a little obsessed with the series that I get into.
Mm-hmm.
The third one I was going to recommend it.
Okay, so then talk about your third series.
So the third series is actually just all the books by Rick Riordan.
Have you read all the books by Rick Riordan? I mean, he's got the...
Well, I read all of the mythology series.
Okay.
He's got two adult mysteries, too.
He's got two adult mysteries. And he's got, have you read, I stopped when he started doing the Norse mythology. Oh, okay. Have you read the Norse mythology, Maddie?
Those are so good. Between my brother and I,
you're missing out.
We own all of the mythology series books, plus two unlicensed ones, except for the latest in the Apollo series. And the reason I love those is partially because I love mythology anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got me started in mythology. I read it still. But also, the characters that he's actually bringing are so diverse. I mean, in the first series, you've got a lot of white kids, but in the second series, you've got Hispanics, Native Americans, black people, Chinese, Canadian guys, and then you've got some LGBTQ characters in some of them,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so good.
I will agree with you on Rick Riordan. I've got a few of his books on my Kindle, but we've got a whole series of his books on the bookshelf. And I was just telling, I was just saying that my kids are 15 now. When we packed up, they didn't want to get rid of some of their books. And that the whole stack of Rick Riordan books are ones that they didn't want to get rid of. So I appreciate that. They're going to read them or give them to their kids. Thank you for calling in, Maddie. I appreciate it.
Problem.
We are talking about your favorite books with Daniel Golden, who is the proprietor of the bookstore Boswell Books in Milwaukee. We've got a minute before our next break. Tell us your next book.
Well, Daniel. I was going to say that if you're based on what the caller was thinking about, I was going to mention a couple of teen series that are very popular mm-hmm. right now that we've had wonderful reads on. Perhaps the hottest one is Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi, mm-hmm. and that's sort of in the Afrofuturism vein. And then, of course, Saba Tahir's Ember in the Ashes, Ember Quartet. And if she's looking for diverse characters, both those books really have them, and they're really great. They're older than a Rick Riordan reader,
right.
But
she's a senior in high school.
Right. She can definitely do it. I'm sure she's probably read them already. She just didn't. That's the way teens are.
That is the way teens are. We are taking your calls here to talk about your favorite books. What was the time that you fell in love with reading a book? And are you a kid? And do you love to read books now? Do your parents read you books? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're going to come back in a moment with more of your book recommendations. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Today's show is made by you. We want to know what you're reading, what you recommend to others to read, what made you love books. And we want to hear from book lovers of all ages. Are you 10? We had a 10-year-old call in earlier. Did you just read your first chapter book? Maybe Mr. Tarot Falls again. Or are you in love, as our last caller was, with Rick Riordan's books about Greek and Egyptian and Norse gods? We want to hear from you. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Daniel Golden is sitting here with us with a stack of books that he wants to tell us about. But I've got callers, Daniel.
Let's take a call.
We're going to go with Robin from Janesville. Welcome, Robin.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to recommend Ray Kurzweil, The Singularity is Near When Humans Transcend Biology, and Cathedral of the Wild by Boyd Bardi.
And these are both novels.
I guess I would say that. they're pretty heavy books. I love them. I thought they were great. Ray Kurzweil's, it's all about AI, artificial intelligence, where we're at with it now and where we're going in the future with it, from medical to science to whatever. And I thought it was just fascinating. It was an awesome book. But I kind of had to take it in spoonfuls. I get my books on DVD or CD and listen in the car mostly because I drive a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one, you know, I would kind of have to digest chapters at a time. You know, it was pretty heavy duty. But I loved it. I thought it was very interesting.
Well, thank you for that. We will definitely have that on our list at WPR.org. Chris from Madison, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Right now, I want to get back to reading a book that I finally got after hearing it recommended at NPR, and that's The List by Amy Siskind. Which is her day-by-day, week-by-week account of the changes that we've been seeing under Donald Trump.
Ah, interesting.
It's fascinating. It's very disturbing. I thought while I was on, by the way, Anything by Harlan Ellison, if people aren't familiar with them, they should try. And Death Bird Stories is a good place to start. But one thing about being old is that sometimes very popular series have faded when the authors are gone. And I'm thinking in particular about James Bond books. Dr. No should almost be required by law just to be read in summer.
Interesting.
It's just that kind of a book. And the Travis McGee series by John Lee McDonald. I think you know, people discovered them. They're not trendy now, of course, but they're very vivid slices of history, and of attitudes from their times.
Well, thank you for that, James. I think that Daniel James Bond is more known by moviegoers these days.
They've continued to actually publish a few books under other people. Like, mm-hmm. It's been a big trend for the last 10, 15 years to, like, when a series, someone's dead and they can get the rights to it, they'll have somebody continue the series. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not.
Because they're not written, right, they're written by somebody else. We are talking about books and asking you for your favorite books, 800-642-1234. Michelle emailed us, and she emailed us with a memory, because that's part of what we're asking also. When did you fall in love with books? She said, I remember sitting on my father's lap with my sister and saying, read, read. I've loved reading my entire life. Boxcar Children, Nancy Drew. I wanted to get locked in the school library over Christmas break. I did too. That was a total fantasy of mine. Thank you very much for that. Hardcover, paperback, ebook. Favorite books, Staggerford by John Hassler, and all the Hassler books, and also Michael Perry's stuff.
Oh, wonderful. I wanted to mention, since we had a couple of people mm-hmm. in a row on the science fiction and fantasy Harlan Ellison.
Yes, yes.
I had asked, our buyer Jason reads a lot of science fiction and fantasy. He runs a science fiction book club. He's also a voracious reader, so he reads faster than I can read things. And I said, who's the fantasy writer that people don't know? Because the thing about it, the series are so big, people read the same people over and over again. And he had said Jeff Vandermeer is the genius, the ascendant genius. His books are selling very well, the Southern Reach trilogy. Mm-hmm. Some Atwood interest from Handmaid's Tale, because there's a whole series of books mm-hmm. that people are reading from that book as well. But I definitely wanted to mention that. In terms of Staggerford and Michael Perry, who I love, 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 I'm trying to think of who I would recommend from that. And I think maybe the Amy Stewart historical mysteries. The first book's very standalone. It's about their historical novel based on the first female deputy sheriff of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. The first book's called Girl Waits with Gun. I just read it because she's doing a whole tour through Wisconsin. She's in Madison. She's going to be in Spring Green in Arcadia, and she's at Boswell. And they're just delightful books. She's best known from Drunken Botanist. She did a lot of these nature books. But they're funny. It's a great mystery. Lots of detail, and they're all inspired by the cases that this detective did, and
real
all the
cases.
Challenges that she real cases. She makes up some. She tells you at the end what's made up and what's real, as you do in all historical novels. I've been reading a lot of historical novels just because people love them and they want to know more about them. They're always up for, and so that was one of my favorites.
We are talking about books, and we're taking your recommendations and also listening to your stories about when you learn to love to read. We're also asking kids to call in to tell us what their favorite books are. Tom from Tomahawk, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I want to give a pitch for Straight History. I love the historian who at University of Boston, Basevich. I highly recommend his books to the public. But if I had a requirement, I'd make everybody in the world read Howard Zinn's The People's History. What an eye-opener. There's some other people. James Bradley wrote one called The Imperial Cruise. It really gives a good insight to the roots of our imperialism and what's going on in the wars like Afghanistan.
Both very good recommendations. Howard Zinn kind of changed the way we look at history, not looking at it just from the victor's point of view, the white man's point of view. Daniel?
I was going to mention a book that I think might be of interest that I just read not too long ago that's come out recently called The Bone and Sinew of the Land by Annalisa Cox. Mm-hmm. And it's actually about African-American rural settlements in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. There was actually a substantial number of farmers. Even in Wisconsin, there were 31 African-American farms in the 1850s.
Wow.
And what led to their disappearance? If you read Killers of the Flower Moon, you'll recognize a similar sort of story. Fascinating. It's mostly about two families in Indiana. But I think that the authors actually worked with the Wisconsin Historical Society on projects.
And this is a novel, or
it
is this historical fiction, or history?
History.
He said
straight
history.
I'm like, I'm not.
Okay.
Now she does. You know, there always is a little bit of a boundary area because she has to reconstruct some of the stories and things like that. So is it absolutely no fictional detail in it? I'm not going to say that.
Okay, fine.
But it's classified as nonfiction.
We are taking your calls this morning about your favorite reads. Nancy from Fenimore, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What are your favorite books?
One of them is Three Men in a Boat to Say Nothing of the Dog by Jerome K. Jerome.
Uh-huh.
It was written in the late 1800s. It reads like it was written yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolutely gorgeous book. And also, the Thursday Next series by Jasper Ford. It is set in a fictional 1980s England, where literature holds the position that sports holds today.
Oh.
And
wouldn't that be nice? What a world.
Yes, wouldn't it? Yeah. That would be fabulous.
Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate you calling in. Mike from Appleton, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi.
Sorry, I've got some background noise right now. I'm out on my daily walk for 3 hours.
Oh, good for you.
Carrie, I'm going to be seeing you up at the politics
excellent.
Here in Appleton in early August.
That's August 9th. I will be there.
Love today's show. Daniel, doing a great job.
Oh, thanks.
The memories I have, first of all, reading to my three daughters, who are all about 30 now, by the way,
mm-hmm.
by the fireplace when they were young, were just beautiful memories. My favorite book lately, The Nightingale, by Kristen Hanna.
Okay.
Found it to be just beautiful, both the history and the drama, the human emotion.
Okay, we're going to put this on the list. Thank you, Mike. I look forward to meeting you on August 9th in Appleton for the Politics Podcast live event. Wade from Madison, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So, I am loving this show. I live in Madison, and I'm also an author and a small publisher, and I just love the fact that we're having this discussion. As a young man, you know, preteen, teen, I was very much into science fiction
mm-hmm.
because it answered some of the questions that I had, you know, because of some turbulent events in my childhood. And I love the way that books allow you to explore and get the answers that work for you.
Mm.
So it was Robert Heinlein. It was you know, Isaac Asimov with the Foundation trilogy, and it was, you know, The Martian Chronicles and all those works by Bradbury. And finally, Dune, right, as sort of the ultimate science fiction book.
Yes.
But the one that was transformational, that is most memorable, is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, as I began to move away from, you know, just science fiction and then look for more, you know, actual exploration of the answers more directly. And I don't know if the listeners are familiar with that book, but it's the story of a man who actually lost his sanity and was brought back on electric shock therapy treatment to reality, and then he explores how can he retain his connection to the real world, keep his feet on the ground, while still not losing touch of those insights that he gained that actually drove him to madness. And it's a true story. Utterly fascinating and so incredibly well written.
It is utterly fascinating. It's kind of a seminal book, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say there was, you know, it's one of those things when you've been in the business a long time, you remember when you were selling the book hand over fist,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little quieter now, but it's, you know, but these things come and go. We were just talking about The Prophet, you know, Cale Gebrell. Someone came to me and said, that's my favorite book of all time. I was like, oh my gosh, we would have it in tens at every store. And now I feel like The Alchemist has taken, I think, a similar spot. So right. It's sort of like in Zen, and there's probably a book out there right now, and my brain is going, what is it? What is it? What is it? You know, that's kind of filled, you know, these books fill a need in people, the answers that they're trying to get to the questions they have. And or maybe that one will come back.
Maybe. We are taking more calls. Lynn from Waukesha, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
My recommendation is the Preston and Child series, Aloysius Pendergast.
Okay. I'm going to take that, and we're going to put it on our list and with a link to it. But I'm going to cycle through these calls because we have a lot of people on the line right now. So thank you for calling, Lynn.
Thank you.
We actually had Rebecca tweet. We had a tweet come in. I love this.
Oh.
She said, our 8-year-old daughter really enjoys the Sprinkle Sunday series by Coco Simon. The series is about three best friends who work in an ice cream shop every Sunday. I would like that series, too. I would like to work in an ice cream shop, actually. Esty from Madison, welcome to the program.
Hi. My recommendation is Almanac of the Dead by Leslie Marmon Silko. She is a Native American writer, and the book, which is, it's a very thick book. I'm looking at it. It's about 700 and some pages. It's a novel, but it's basically about 500 years plus of white conquest of the Americas and the indigenous peoples. It's also about the history and the trade of heroin and cocaine. It's about corruption in government. She actually saw what was coming as it's coming now, the whole dependence on electronics and what that might cause. It's an amazing wide range book that is so well written. It's about heavy.
Okay, so I'm gonna stop you there. We've got like just a few minutes left. Daniel, you have a book.
Oh, I just want to say that caller, you have to read "They're There" by Tommy Orange.
Okay,
amazing new native voice, selling really well. Beautiful book. Powerful, hits you like slaps you in the face, and then tells you this amazing story.
Okay, I want to read some more emails here. Mindy from Chippewa Falls said, I started reading and fell in love with it at a young age. When I was in kindergarten, I would have an open book on the counter as I helped my mom with the dishes. To this day, I only use purses that are big enough to hold a book because you never know when you're going to have a few minutes to read during the day. Oh, I totally agree with that, Mindy. Lisa tweets, Hunger by Roxane Gay. That is also a very good book. It was like she was in my head and knew exactly what I was thinking and feeling. We're going to have these on a list at our website. A great read, Nancy tweets, a great read for this summer is Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. It's a real-life psychological thriller and a cautionary tale for our times. Let's end with a book recommendation, Daniel, which you've got a lot of things sitting in front
of
you.
One, just one.
Okay.
So one book that's always hard to match is Gentleman of Moscow. Huge book for the last few years. Mm-hmm. People love, love, love that book. And I have never been, I'm trying to put together a table. I don't know what to recommend. And then we met Kathleen Rooney, the author of Lillian Boxfish Takes a Walk. And I was chatting about this with her, and she said, you can't believe how many people come up to me and say, I love Gentleman of Moscow, and then I read your book, and I fell in love. It's about it's based on a real person from the 1920s and 30s
who was an
advertising copywriter, the highest paid woman in advertising, who had to leave when she had a child. And then 60 years later, she goes out to dinner on New Year's Eve and winds up taking a 10-mile walk around Manhattan. It becomes like a Flaneuse story, it's a book about overcoming things. It's about the people she meets, and it's terrific.
And what's it called?
It's called Lillian Boxfish Takes a Walk.
We have been talking about books with Daniel Golden, I was thinking Doug Gordon, who is going to be doing the thing. So
absolutely.
We've been talking about books with Daniel Golden, who is the proprietor of the independent bookstore Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. Thank you you, Daniel, for being here.
My pleasure. And my nephew's named Gordon, and so I'm always
okay,
willing
excellent.
To answer today.
And thank you for all your calls today. It's The Morning Show. It's produced by Colleen Leahy, Brianne Shasso, and Chris Molina, Laura Pavin, and Sarah Hopeful. Michael Derringer is our technical director. Keely Boltini is the executive producer. I'm Carrie Kaufman. This is the Ideas Network.